All right, so let's just jump into it, guys. I think this message is for everybody. But I want you to know that I don't write messages to react to anything. I don't write messages with people in mind. But we all, I know this had to do with everybody, but this had to do with me this week too. But first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Saul. What did we do? We just got done with Joseph, is that right? We just got done looking at some of Joseph's story. We're going to stick with that. Again, we're going to look at the life of Saul, but more specifically, we're going to look at his failures and what we can learn from them. And really, I only got to one of them, really. So let's pound through a bunch of slides. This is the Word of God. It's 1 Samuel 13, if you're listening online. So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Avim. So a battle is starting. That's all you need to know. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was pretty bad and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, rocks, pits, and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead, running away. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by the prophet Samuel, who spoke for God at the time. But Samuel did not come to where he was at Gilgal, and Saul's men began to actually scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offerings, Samuel, the man of God, did arrive. And Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" said Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering, and you didn't come at the set time, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, okay, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I haven't sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you've not kept the Lord's command." Here's what you need to know. That kind of seems harsh, but what you need to know is everybody knew that only the prophet was to do these offerings. It's just the way it was. It was set in stone. I mean, this is a guy who knew how to do it. He was the man appointed to do it. And Saul, I mean, it's a bad thing. You know, it was kind of unthinkable for him to do that. And I won't get into kings and priests and how you can't be both. That actually breaks things, blah, blah, blah. But most people will tell you this, okay? Let's dig into this, okay? Most people will tell you this. They read that and they get the story of fear. Okay, maybe. Maybe impatience or something like that. You hear a lot of sermons on those two thoughts. But when I read this, I get something else. Those other things are there. But what I focus on actually, guys, is control. Control. So I looked up the word control. Boy, you know what? Sometimes that's really powerful because you start to think you know a word like, oh, control. But the definition I got from an online dictionary was really powerful. It said, control, the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events. Right? Me? I see Samuel making a huge mistake that will echo for eternity because of his desire to influence or direct a course of events. I'm not judging him in this one. And I can actually say me too. But what I want to say is Samuel does this. He takes on a form of submission to God, a form of surrender, but he still steers the situation and still steers the situation. And sometimes we do that same thing. We take on a form of surrender, but we still steer situations and people with our thoughts and our actions. I'm going to build this one slowly today, and we're very Bible heavy. So let's go ahead and look at Proverbs, please. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on the things you know and your understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." Now that is the converse of control, is trusting in the Lord, leaning not on your own understanding what you think is best. But I want to point something out here. The word acknowledge, all your ways acknowledge him, is the word yada in Hebrew. So say yada. And you want to know where else it shows up? Next slide, please. This is crazy. And Adam yada Eve, his wife. You get it? So acknowledge is not just acknowledge the Lord. It's to know intimately. Let's go back to that Proverbs one, please. So Adam knew, was intimate, nothing in between. Adam and Eve, right? Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, intimately walk with the Lord your God, with a steady stream of giving and taking back and forth. In all your ways, yada Him, and He will make your path straight. Don't hide things from Him. Not the good, the bad, the ugly, right? God loves you and your tattoos, says our sign. But anyway, in all your ways, yada Him. And that's a surrender and a submission. That's a full sharing of yourself, right? Or, okay, so let me stay on this. Option one is live every area of your life closely with God, holding nothing back, even the anger, even the confusion, even the letdowns. We've talked about that before. Or, actually, no, let me keep going with that. Surrender every area of your life and live closely with God, hold nothing back, be intimate with Him in your struggles and fears, surrendering the outcomes and other people to Him. I want to give you a full definition. Or you control it. And let's cut the crap. There is no middle road. It's going to get hot in here today, guys, because we all fall into this. And what I see here is Saul has a form of surrender to God, but he still had his hand on the wheel. And if we're not purposeful, we can do the same thing. So let's pin it down a little bit. What are some things we might struggle with controlling? Maybe those around us, right? Always having opinions about how they should act or think and letting them know your thoughts about it. Some of us struggle in that way. That's control, guys, trying to steer other people's lives. How about your tasks? The tasks you go about, or maybe at the workplace. Someone does something you asked, but didn't do it exactly like you would, so either you do it over or you change it. It's control, guys. Or at home, anyone have to re-vacuum because the lines weren't straight? Or re-mow, I was mowing this week, right? Ever yell at someone because they did what you asked, but they didn't do it how you would have done it? I'll say that again. Ever yell at someone because they did what you asked, but not how you would have done it? Wow, I'm going to hire some crickets to start chirping today. I've learned enough in 5 years to realize that sometimes when you guys are super quiet, it's not because you're not listening to me, it's because you are listening to me. I have before, obviously, but that's control, guys. And it seems harmless, but this one you can write down. In the kingdom of God, the currency is surrender. And control is actually out of bounds. I'm not going to apologize for the things I'm going to say today, guys, but I can understand where it's hard to hear. So I empathize. We all know people we'd call control freaks, and maybe we is all control freaks, but I'm not just talking about the total behavior. I want to pick it apart. Before I do, I want to point out something God spoke to me Tuesday while I was cooking chicken, and I did not cook it well enough. I struggled. Never mind. Someone talked to me about how to grill chicken. I still can't get it. Never mind. It always ends up raw in the middle and really crispy on the outside, and that's not what I want. What? Part boil it? Does it take the flavor out the skin? See? You can learn from people in humility. Thank you. We'll talk about that later. That's good. But anyway, so Tuesday I'm ruining the chicken. And I was talking to God about this. And here's the interesting thing about those who struggle with control. Ready? The people who struggle with controlling other people, situations, and being uncomfortable and out of control in situations rarely control themselves. So people who struggle and always seem to want to have control are rarely in control of themselves. This is big, guys. The people who we would call control freaks or, you know, whatever, that kind of thing, these individuals tend to be swayed by moods, situations, other people's words and actions very easily. So there's a seeking to control and have everything figured out, and I hate when I don't feel like I'm in control of everything. But these are the very same people who have very little control over themselves. Yeah, I know. Those in my life that are most controlling people, like family members and stuff, are actually the most miserable people I know. There's no control of themselves. I'll get back to that, but I want you to think about this. Control is a power tool that's fit to the Father's hand, and it's exhausting to carry that load. It's not made for us, guys. I can imagine, well, I'll give you this. I carried up a laundry the other day, and it was one of those loads you probably shouldn't have fit all in the washer. We all done that before? It'll be fine. I'm gonna blow the motor one of these days, guys. But so I'm carrying it up, I'm like, and I'm hemming and hawing here, and I put it down, and Alex goes, Mama, Daddy brought clothes. And I was like, easy, hernia boy. We put the thing down. And I was like, that was a load that I can carry. That's a load for Daddy to carry, 36-year-old man. Not 3.5-year-old dude, but he sure did try, And that's control, you guys. But I want to have it figured out. I want to toss and turn at night. I want to play it over in my mind. Right? That's my cricket sound. I just came up with that. But what's funny is, like I said, if you want to go back, guys, and always having to see the next thing or know how it's going to work out, it's exhausting because our scope of ability as a human being, we don't have it. And the funny thing about control is you never got hired for it, so why are you doing the job? Control is misguided, misdirected, disobedient even. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. You know that, guys. But I'm not going to hide the truth. The interesting thing is those who struggle with control seem to be the least self-controlled people. And I want to hang out on that just for a little bit. The only thing, ironically, that we're supposed to, allowed to, and called to control is us. The only thing we're supposed to seek control of is ourselves. And this is all new thoughts to me, man. I think this is pretty mind-blowing. And I can hear like, well, he should, well, they should, well, God should. At that moment, we stop and say, how am I reacting to this? What am I saying, right? When you're tempted to control a situation, a person, an outcome, whatever, stop and control you. That's all. And this is what we see here with Saul, you guys. Let's turn it up a little bit more, guys. Here's a quote, ready? Someone says, well, this is the situation. Here's what I'm going to do. And what I just said sounds like life is normal. Sounds perfectly fine. But I want to argue against that, actually. In the kingdom of God, if you're a son or daughter of God by putting your faith in Jesus, it's not, here's the situation, here's what I'm going to do. It's, here's the situation, Father, what would you have me to do? This is a level of walking with Christ very few people choose to even get to, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. Every situation, in all things, yada, it's not, all right, I make my decision, I go. It's, Father, okay, this is what we're going to do. You involve him in all these decisions. And are we following me on this one? We're still talking about control. We're talking about Saul did a good thing, you guys. Don't church it up, man. He did the burnt offering. He didn't want to go to battle without God, right? It's a good thing. I mean, yeah, he broke the law to do it and blah, blah, blah. But it's not like he said, forget you, God. We'll go fight in our own strength. No, it was just the fact is he didn't surrender the full thing to God. He said, here's the situation. I saw them encamped, so I... And guys, I got to tell you something. This could save you years of your life. You don't get to do that anymore. Not if you're in Christ. Look at Corinthians. Come on, let's do this. We never talk about this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? In other words, temple, what's inside? The Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Therefore, you're his temple. Get it? Who is in you, whom you've received from God. You're not your own anymore. You actually bought at a price. We don't talk about that much in church. But it cost every drop of Jesus Christ's blood to buy you into the kingdom of God. And so now you don't walk your own life. You don't get to do that anymore. You don't. For example, if I adopt a child, they now have to listen to dad. If they want to have a relationship and get everything out of this household and everything I give them. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Right. He gave us the right to become sons and daughters of God, he says. So now that you're in my home and my kingdom, there is a way of operating in this family. And I've showed you before, they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Now that I'm your dad, Abba Father, says God, in all your ways, don't run out on your own. Don't do it, guys. You cannot control even the color of your hair, it says in the New Testament before hair dye, of course. You can't add 1 hour to your life, can you? Well, then don't control anything else. I heard a comedian one time saying he was picking on white people because we don't beat up our kids like other ethnic groups. He was from a certain ethnic group. But he said something along the lines of, he goes, white people, you all, like, you treat your kids as equals and all that, but if they can't pay your light bill, then how are you going to let them run the house? If they can't, right? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, my kid's not my equal, right? And that's the thing. Guys, I've done a lot of dog training and rehabilitating. I have. And what's funny is, this is just my advice, but the quickest way to rehabilitate a dog is to put the dog in a pack mentality where he understands he does not have to run the house. Dogs get stressed out when you let them run amok. They do. Because they have this sense that they can't do everything that needs to be done. So you'll see these wide-eyed and bloodshotty eyes. And they're stressed out. If my dog can't run the house, vacuum, pay the light bill, and buy his own food, he doesn't get to be the head of the household. Daddy's pack leader. It's true. And the dog goes, thank God. Mom's not here so I can talk about this. My dog is alpha dog when he goes to visit grandma, and he stays for a long time. He comes back just exhausted. Ask, you guys have been there. The dog sleeps for days, because at that house, he's on high alert. He's the boss. He is, because mom's like, "Oh, Sam, crawl all over me and do whatever you want. Whatever you want." And undoes some of my training, but anyway. Guys, and that's the thing, you know what I'm saying? If you can't control everything, then don't control anything, because God can. That's where we're at. And I'm going to remind you as this message heats up a little bit, I'm going to remind you that this is a loving Father who's telling us what's best for us because He loves us. Understand? You do need to understand that. Heaven is our home. God is our Father, and He's got plans for every day of your life. You're not to control situations and other people. God is to be trusted with control. The funny thing about control is this. Only one person can have it. There are no percentages. I've said this before. Only either your control or God can be in control. How many people can actually steer a car? One. I was driving to the mall in Plattsburgh one time, and I remember, stop looking at each other, people. No elbow pops. I was in Plattsburgh, and we were going to, whatever, I was going to go buy a knife, but my girlfriend was driving the car, and this dude was walking on the side of the road, and he was dressed in dark clothing, and I didn't know if she saw him, so I went like this. There's only one time that girl screamed at me, and that was the day. You don't grab that wheel, I'm driving. I mean, I was wrong. She was the one who was supposed to have control of that vehicle. I didn't trust her driving, so I tried to stop, you know, vehicular manslaughter. She had seen him, and she was turning. Only one person can control your life. And while your hands are on it, God's hands will not be and cannot be. That's just common sense, guys. God is as polite as He is powerful. Write that down. God is as polite as He is powerful. If you want to control it, He will do that. Go ahead. Oh, you're going to let me steer now? I'm happy to do so. And I understand this is a process, guys. I said, Christ, you are who you say you are. Now, you know, you'll do everything you said you're going to do in my life. That's faith. At 17, I'm 36 now. I don't have this mastered by any means. But the process of giving over control is huge every day. Every day we make a choice. You do what you can. The Bible is clear. You go get a job. You go out, you prayerfully look for a job. You do the work. You do the things that are in front of you. I'm not saying just sit there and go, God, do everything for me. You know what we're talking about here. But control is when you are carrying the burden. Now we're going to get into symptomatic things. That's how you know, guys. That's how you know if you're controlling something you're not meant to. Stress. Can I look at the next slide, Brian? Appreciate you all the time. Matthew, Jesus Himself says, take my yoke upon you now that you're born into my kingdom and learn from me because I'm gentle and humble in heart and you'll find rest for your souls. See, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mine, says Jesus. When I'm in charge, that's how you know. Because it's easy and my burden is light. If you have anxiety and you're carrying a burden that's destroying you, you're not wearing my yoke in this situation. You're wearing your own. Is this good, guys? I feel like it is. Are you getting this? I do love this. If you have the weight of anxiety about something, that means you're steering it, honestly. If nothing else, that's take that home with you. If you've ever felt a burden, stress, or anxiety over someone else's situation, that's control. If you've ever been affected by something that's outside of you, say the way someone else does things or is doing things, that's control. How about this? Have you ever wanted to end up somewhere or with something? And have you ever stressed your way through the journey until you ended up there? Well, like college or job or the day? That's control, guys. I'll give you an example really quickly. I found a house three years ago. We were house hunting, long story. Loved this home. We put in an offer on the home with contingencies of selling our house in Potsdam. And so we put it in. And sure enough, didn't somebody else offer with no contingencies? Hey, somebody else offered on the house. You got 72 hours to say yes, or you lose this house. And if you've been to my home, it's a very unique home as far as being in the middle of the woods. I love it. I'm a bit of a hermit crab. I don't want neighbors. It drives me nuts. Whatever, guys. I mean, you know, I turn on the people person thing when I'm here, right? So, but thank you. You got that. But guys, all of a sudden, 72. Oh my, here's me. Ready? Lord, no, my, oh, we're going to lose this house. What can I do? Oh my gosh, what can I do? We're going to lose this house. I don't want to rent that house, and that's not how I pictured it going, and blah, 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 blah. And God spoke to me, and He's like, who do you want controlling this situation, man? So I called people that I trust, because that's a part of not controlling, too, is seeking counsel, asking smart people around you. And I called my brother. I called a realtor, because guys, it's also common sense. If you want to get your finances in order, go talk to somebody who's good with finances, right? And I realized I had to let it go. And the end of the story is this. I was tempted to carry the burden. He reminded me not to. The end of the story is this. We ended up renting the house in Potsdam, which turned out to be a very huge blessing, and we were able to get the mortgage on the other house. Now listen, that was not how I wanted it. And if I had continued to steer, I would have lost the house because it didn't line up with how I pictured it going. And so my steering would never have taken us down that road. But I won't give you the facts and figures, but that is a valuable asset that is you know, affording us things for our children and things. It turned out to be a real huge blessing. And we pulled it off. I never would have even tried where I was going. But thank God I have friends who say, stop it. Get your hands off the wheel. Stop it. It's important to have Christian friendships like that, right? Here's a hint about personal control of situations. If you constantly say to yourself, I've gotta, there's a hint that you might be in control. A step further. If you're always saying like this, if I don't that, that's control. I feel like I can't get out of this message without saying this. Results are always God's business and not yours. I'm going to say it again. Results, all results, are God's business and not yours. Your job is to control you, do what you're called to do, what you can, but not to control the results. And sometimes it's a simple mind switch. Let me give you an example. We got kids going back to college. This is what you hear at colleges, ready? And you can put this in your own job, life, situation. If I don't study, I won't pass. If I don't pass, I won't graduate. If I don't graduate, I won't get the job I need. And many of you would think there's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I'm probably the only one in the room who thinks there's something wrong with that sentence. And I really do. I think if we look at it that way in our lives, we're saying that our effort is the only thing that will bring about results. We're giving ourselves too much power. Let's look at Proverbs. Back me up. Don't believe me. Who am I? In his heart, a man plans his course, but it's actually the Lord who determines his steps. If I don't this, if I don't that, if I don't really? So you don't believe this then? I know, but nobody's coming at you today, guys. I'm just giving it a convincing argument to help you. Now, how about this mind switch? Ready? This is what I did in college. I didn't say if I don't this, I don't that. I said this. If I study, if I do my best in what I can do, I wrote this down well. I trust that God will take me where he wants me. Which one sounds healthier and more lined up with God? If I don't this, if I don't that, if I don't this, I can ruin my... Or I'm going to do what I can and trust God with the rest. And can I tell you, my classmates hated me because I never stressed. I was the only kid out there in May, with May, April, laying out in the quad. I'd studied for my finals. I did my best. And as long as I do my best, I mean, I'm not everybody else to walk around steering my own life. He's going to determine my steps. Hey, AJ, did you do what you could do? Yeah. Okay. The rest is up to me, says God. And I am capable. Does anybody feel like maybe if we get this, life would be actually a little bit easier? And maybe more enjoyable even? I skated through college. And you know what's funny, guys? I graduated with honors. And I did just, I didn't take it that, I was in a full-time band. I was a full-time RA. I'll do what I can do and I trust God. I let him steer, man. Seriously, when you're job hunting, everything, guys, I'll do what I can, the rest is up to you. Okay? Is this making sense, guys? Are we doing okay? We got about a page left. What? We're not going long. Look at this. It's quarter of. What's wrong with you people? You do what you can, but then you stand. You do no more. Let's look at the next slide. I've got lots of Ephesians. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything you can do, here's what you do. You stand. You don't keep pushing. You don't keep pressing. You don't keep running and stressing and losing sleep. You just stand. You do the things you know to do. You acknowledge God in all things. That's putting on the armor of God. You yada God. And then just chill out. Enjoy this life God has given you. Because Dad loves you and wants you to. And guess what? He's very, very capable. So control is like, oh, I don't want to give up control. But once you hear about the other side of things, it's like, why would I keep it? This sounds so much better, doesn't it? Let's look at the next slide, please. Here's another good one. Be still and know that I'm God. And no matter what you do, my will continue forward because I'm way bigger. I actually will be exalted among the nations, even though it looks like they don't want anything to do with me anymore. I will be exalted in the earth because it's my earth. I will be exalted in your home. I will be exalted in your life. Be still and know that I'm God. You have no power over what I'm doing, says Father God. And thank God we don't. Right? Come on. I have no illusions that I am dust and a bit of a screw up when it comes to everything. Be still and know I'm God. What's stillness, you guys? Stillness is calm. It's rest. It is, guys. It's no burden. So you go to work. You work as God has instructed you. But that house you want in the future, God, he's in charge of the results. He's in charge of showing you where you need to be. Lean your finances on him. Let him take control. We know that step one is the tithe. That's what you do. But your financial outlook, God. Do what you can. Take care of your body. But who's in charge of your health? God. Yada. And all your ways acknowledge him. Results are up to him, not you. Do what you can and then stand. And while you're standing, enjoy yourself. Absolutely. This could change everything for us, guys, especially those of us who recognize I'm uncomfortable when I feel like I'm not in control of things or situations or plans or the future. Take all this in and let the burden of control fall off of you and onto his hands. Saul's other failure is he calls a fast. He wanted a victory. He wanted to make the men work hard. So he came up with the idea that nobody's going to eat until we accomplish what I want. So he tried to control the situation and the men. So he comes up with this plan that not only was foolish and hurt what they were trying to do, but it almost got his son killed. Look that up. Here's another problem with control, you guys, and I'm just going to hit this one and quit it. These men that he said needed to fast weren't his men. They were God's men. When we try to control other people, we're trying to control God's beloved son or daughter. And how's that work out? Not well. If someone tries to control my son or my daughter, there's going to be blood every time. And I'm just a fleshy dad. Imagine all-powerful father. So sometimes when we try to control and steer other people's lives, it's not innocent because you know best. It's harmful because that's God's son or daughter. I've even given up picturing how God is going to do pretty much anything in my life. And again, I'm not sitting here saying I've got victory, but it's to the point where it's almost like if I think of how he's going to do it, he's not going to do it that way. So here's what I want to say. As we're getting ready to close, I want to share a couple more thoughts because I love you all. And this is a better life, I promise. Plus, it's obedience to God. Don't firm up your idea of what the journey is going to look like. I hope someone took good notes because I want to post notes. Brittany takes good notes. I want to post these notes. There's been so many good one-offs that you can keep doing on this. Let's look at the slide. James, this is the brother of Jesus Christ. Mary and Joseph had other sons and daughters after Jesus. Now listen, you who say, now this sounds really harmless. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into this city or that city. We're going to spend a year there, carry on business, make some money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow, do you? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, Dr. James is going to give you a prescription here. You ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that. And I said that about 12 minutes ago. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do. Nope, Father, what would you have me to do in this situation? Because we were bought at a price, right? James says this. We got to really take this in, guys. Don't get cemented on how things are supposed to go. Because like the house buying thing, we're going to put an offer on the house. I really need to sell this house. Who said you needed to sell that house? Well, I did because I'm controlling this. And God said, that's not what I want for you. I actually want better for you. You're going to keep that rental property. It's going to make you a lot of money and you're still going to get to have that home. How's that sound? Nah, I don't want your double portion blessing. I want to control it. It's got to go the way I picture it going. Do you understand this point? I feel like you don't. We sit down and we say, today or tomorrow, I'm going to make this plan. And then when something happens in life, because life happens, we go crazy because it's not how it's supposed to go. Well, who said supposed to? You did. Right? We sit in that office and I repair that all the time. This is not how it was supposed to be and all that. And I said, according to who? What book are you reading, honey? Well, the one I wrote about my life and how it's supposed to go. But you can't add an hour to your life. Maybe stop saying this is how it's supposed to be. And when we surrender that control, life can do what life does and you're not destroyed by these variations. Make sense? I feel like this could really help people. I really do. Okay, really quick, couple more thoughts. Anxiety is the mind's way of telling you you're seeking control. Just like pain is the body's way of telling you you're hurt and need healing, anxiety is your way of knowing, bing, 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 oh wait, I'm carrying the burden I shouldn't. Isn't that awesome? Come on, guys, this is lay on the couch diagnosis stuff. If you're feeling anxious, it's true. Chirp, chirp. Creaky, creaky. If you're feeling anxiety, that's how you know, oh, that's me trying to control it or carrying the burden I shouldn't carry. Because that's the symptom. That's the symptom, you guys. Okay? Just like pain is the body's way of telling you something's wrong. Let's go on this next one, please. We've looked at this before. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with a thankful heart, present these requests to God, and then something's going to happen. The peace of God, which goes beyond anything you'll understand, it'll guard your heart and your mind. So instead of being anxious, when you're anxious, here's what you can do. And I've said this before, this is a recipe. All of those things are ingredients, and you will get this product at the end of it. Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It doesn't matter if you do it perfectly or not. This is the way God set up life. You don't have to like it, but we should. You don't have to be anxious about anything. When you're anxious and thinking, and you realize it's about control, here's what you do. You surrender it to the Lord God with prayer and petition, with a grateful heart. You present requests to God. That's option number two. If we do this, this will be the result. This is not just a one-shot decision. And as we're getting ready to close, I want to say this. It sounds all great, and I'm saying all this stuff. This may be very difficult for certain personality types and certain people. And I'm not sitting here going, oh, just do this. No, this is hard, and it's a process. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind over time. This is hard. If you've been someone who has struggled with control, I'm not sitting here going, poof, be obedient. I'm not doing that, guys. Seriously, I'm having mercy here. It's a process. Here's what I've learned in the last few weeks. This is another big one. Listen, and take this into other realms too. God breaks the power of these harmful patterns in our lives, but the habit may still be there. Understanding that about life, this is huge, guys. This is my last few weeks. It's what I do. It's always what I've done. It's what I do. So God will break the power, and you go back home, and you're like, boom. And you fall right back into the habit, the pattern. So I'm not sitting here saying this is a magic God bomb. No more anxiety. Yay. No. God will break the power when you bring it to him. But then you're going to have to walk out the day-to-days. Day-to-days. I can acknowledge something, bring it to God, be healed of it, be set free. Then go back into my normal routine and bam, it's 8 o'clock. This is what I always do at 8 o'clock. Or how about the people who toss and turn at night? You'll be good after this message until you go to where you always have your anxiety and your habit is waiting for you. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, good, good, good. This is really good counseling stuff, guys. Honestly, this is what I have to teach folks about change your mind and stuff like this. Yes, you're healed. God has broken the addiction off of you, for example. But when you're at work, you always go out for a smoke. So be careful because the power's gone. It has no power over you anymore, but it has influence. This is big. So you got to retrain even the habits. What did I read about this? You bring it to God, blah, blah, blah. But when you, okay, if you're somebody who does that in bed, tonight when you lay down, if you're always tossing and turning it, that if that's your habit, be aware that it's going to be there waiting for you in your habit place. And you know what you need to do? Let me give you some advice. Put something else there. If you struggle with control and anxiety and all this sort of stuff, don't get waylaid by your old habit. Take it and say, wait, at night is when I tend to do this. So I got to change something. That's my habit. The power is broken. God is faithful. A lot of us think that God's not working because they're like, why do I keep falling into this thing? Because you just jump back into the same habitual routine. The power is broken, but the influence is still there. You're an agent of free will, guys. I don't want to get too deep theologically, but so give you some advice. Put something else there where the habit is, the habit of controlling and anxiety. Empty out the bad, but fill it with something else. Otherwise, it's just going to fill right back up again. So here's what you'd say to the smoker, right? Figure out something else positive that you can do that you enjoy instead of on your breaks, right? Don't just sit there and do nothing because all you want is a cigarette so bad in that habit. Well, what about you, anxiety folks? You're going to go to bed and toss and turn. Put something else there. Maybe you read some of these scriptures. Maybe you listen to this message, maybe, or something like that. You fill your mind up with other things like, I really want this, 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 this. You'd be proactive about it instead of just falling into that habit. This is a big, why not? Why not Google scriptures about anxiety, scriptures about control? Why not look at those for 5 minutes before you go to bed? You're freshly, you know, your mind to get the positive stuff. And then when it's waiting for you, the anxiety, you've got weapons. Oh, I just put on the full armor of God, guys. No, and you have the strength, but you're walking into battles on your own, man. And with no armor on. And you wonder why you get your butt kicked all the time. Okay? The power's broken, but the habit's waiting for you. Live on purpose, guys. Live on, I'm not going to control. I want to surrender. Well, there's ways that we can set up that will help you not fall back into that pattern. Okay? Like I said. So if you recognize control issue with a certain person, let me talk about this because somebody needs to hear this today. If you recognize that you have a control issue with a certain person, here's what you do. My opinion, my advice. Go to God before you talk to them. Let's say you know their calling or something like that. You go to God And then, you know, you talk to God and you get fresh about this and you have a conversation. Now, you have the conversation with the new way of doing things, with surrender. Not controlling the person, not giving into opinions about what they're doing. You just have a conversation with them. You end the conversation. You know what you just did? You just built up one conversation with the new way of doing things. Then the next thing you know, if you're going in there mindful of this stuff, next thing you know, your last three conversations were done with you not controlling them. Then four, then five. And guess what, guys? All of a sudden that relationship is no longer a relationship of control. Because the last five times we talked, I was purposeful, surrendered it to God, didn't try to control you. Now I'm a person who no longer controls you. Do we follow my common sense on that one, you guys? That's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. One thing at a time, living on purpose. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is power God has given us. Your life can change at any moment. At any moment, you start living on purpose in these areas and surrendering things to God. And the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm seriously done, is this. Talk to somebody about it. Let me sum up several verses of Scripture. Confess to God for forgiveness and one another for healing. That's a big deal. If you're finding that you don't have victory in this area, I will ask you, and I already know the answer. Have you ever told people that you struggle with it?
No.
Right, because you confess to God for forgiveness always. Confess to one another for healing. I've gotten power in healing over the hardest things in my life when I've opened up to Pete about it, or Dave, or someone else. I literally go back into that situation, I have power over it. Because God says, I built that in, guys. The cross goes like this, God to us. But you to each other. Do you understand that? Yeah, y'all, get that. Lots of you are living this way, and that's great. It's a good first step. We'll grow up. And it'll be nice. Grow up. It's got to be one to another, too. Do not give up meeting together in fellowship, as some people are doing, says the Bible. Because there's power in this. I built it in, person to person. For example, some of the things that God chose to say through this dummy could change your life today. This is relationship, guys. So you get with people on a personal level. I really struggle with this. I struggle with this. Nobody's going to judge you, but there's power going this way. One another for healing of it. Forgiveness will always be here. Healing will always be here. I didn't say it. The Bible did over, 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 over again. Okay? And so if you'd like prayer even today, from now on what we've done is there's some folks who volunteered to pray with you. If after a service you're feeling like, you know what, I could use some prayer. Brenda and Bruce and I'm sure Steph, and if anybody else wants to be on our quote-unquote prayer team, but Brenda is such a loving, gentle soul that if you think you need prayer in this situation, if you want to, stop it. she didn't like the compliment, or at least didn't receive it well. If you'd like prayer, that room over there, that comfortable room right there, we'll go right in there. Talk to Brenda and just have her pray with you about things. So this week, guys, let's be honest with ourselves and God about control and the anxiety that comes with us. God is calling us to turn control completely over to Him, to trust Him with every area of our lives. And let's do it, guys. Let's recognize it. Let's turn it to God in prayer and then seek practical ways to insulate yourself from taking it back in any area of your life. Now, we're going to sing a song called I Surrender. This can just be the choice where if you choose to make it you can say, I surrender.
Giving you my heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you and the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I And I surrender all to you, all to you. Heavenly Father, we do surrender, Lord God. We confess today, Lord God, that we've just naturally had our hands on the wheel. That's the way the world presents itself to us, Father. And we know you don't condemn us. But we hear your words today. We see this different way of doing things with you. And we want to acknowledge you in all our ways, Father God. We want to open ourselves up to you and be known and to know you, Father. And there are certain areas of our lives, Lord, that we acknowledge we struggle with this. But today, right now, we make a choice to surrender it to you. Those people in our lives that we're carrying the burdens for and we can do nothing for, we surrender them to you. We turn them over to you right now, Father. And Lord, give us the strength to not take that back. And as this week, Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, we give you the permission. Please show us areas of our lives where we're in control, where we're seeking control and power. Show us this week, Father. We're open to you. We're choosing, Father God, to hear from you. And as you reveal those things, Father, we ask that you give us the strength to give them to you. And then, Lord God, we pray that you'd give us ideas and wisdom about how to replace whatever's in that spot, Father, whether it used to be control or anxiety, Father. Give us something practical to put in there that is part of this best life. So we love you, Father God. We thank you that you don't want us living lives full of anxiety and fear. Instead, to enjoy the life you've given us. And we thank you, Father. You're so good. In Jesus' name, we love you and we worship you. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Ha 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 ha.